comes. Chaudhry has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76-all, Chaudhry flew to the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Chaudhry goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
And a good afternoon. We are live here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone, River Park, the greatest furniture store there is in California. Thanks for being our tremendous sponsor, the longest running local sports show there is, maybe ever. It's the Pag Meter, Matty J, and it's popular. We got people want to sponsor with us, Matt. We bring, and if you really think about it, you and I talk all during the week. So many great ideas, and then three years later, boom, it pops up. We go, we talked about that. Isn't that awesome?
Well, we try to stay on top of what's the big important stories around the Valley. And, yeah, we've been on the air probably as long as 60 minutes. This is the longest continuous run high school sports show in the history of broadcasting.
No question about it. We are at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. It is officially fall weather, so you got to get your house ready. It's Halloween. We know Halloween's coming because we got people on the streets with, you know, costumes on, got to get you in there. But once Halloween's over, it's Thanksgiving time. And so we got to get your house ready for Thanksgiving. And look at Bonnie's already decorating this place to the T. This is the best decorated store there is on the planet.
And I love the way you pronounce Thanksgiving. I mean, it really is so refreshing. It's nothing wrong with what you do. I don't criticize.
What I say?
Well, I say Thanksgiving. You say Thanksgiving.
I do.
Yeah, it's Thanksgiving to you. That's always been the way you've said it since I've known you for the last 20 years.
I meant to say Thanksgiving.
You forced it. You pushed Thanksgiving down our throat. It's, you know, you can stick with Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's good.
All right. It's always exciting time. It's a great time of year, right?
It is a great time
of year. Are we changing the clocks again this year? It's 6 o'clock and it's dark already. Can we just leave it the way it is? I'm ridiculous. It's 7 o'clock. I can't see anything in the front yard. Isn't that enough? We have to have it dark at 3:30? I don't like it.
You're right, though. As football coaches all around the Valley and football fans, it gets darker and darker. And if you're on that practice field where you don't have lights, you're at a distinct disadvantage.
You got to have footballs over at 4:30 like all the other schools we used to back in the day.
Well, and how about the young kids, the poor little youth football organizations and the softball and the soccer organizations that have to borrow high school fields to practice, and they're out there in the dark. I mean, they got cars pulled up for headlights, but that's it. No chance.
I just don't understand. We're going to put that on our list. Yeah, we're going to change that as well. It's the Pag Meter, of course, Matt Johnson. Week 9 of high school football. Tonight, we've got a whopper. 7-0, Redwood, the Rangers, Kevin Charton on today.
Yes.
Taking on the Hanford Bullpups, Josh Young. We're going to talk with him, 7-0. The winner will be the number one seed in Division II playoffs, or Memorial. They'll battle it out.
I think this is the two teams you just mentioned, the Hanford Bullpups and, of course, Redwood Rangers. That's the greatest high school story right now in football with those two and the kinds of years they've put together to this point. That is, to me, that would be akin to, you know, the West Virginia Mountaineers are undefeated. They just knocked off Clemson, and they're going to do battle against undefeated Michigan, if you will. I mean, that to me, the story of high school football this year, as team goes, is Redwood, number one, and then Hanford. You know, we all sat around and talked to Laurie Western and Memorial and other schools and beat it to death, but we weren't talking about Redwood and Hanford as much as we are now. This is a great, great story. Amazing football being played by both teams.
No question, and I think Memorial will battle whoever wins tonight will battle. Memorial will battle the winner tonight for that number one spot in Division II because Memorial's on fire right now.
Well, they're so good, and they're getting real, real good at the right time. I got to see them up close and personal last week. There's virtually, when they're clicking right now and they're doing it on all cylinders and they play outstanding defense.
Defense is good.
Yeah, they are. Can I say this? I started this last year, but they might be. I'd like to see them go toe-to-toe with Central. I just wish we could make that happen. I really do.
They almost played a game.
Yeah.
They tried to work it out. They ended up scrimmaging. They almost did, but it didn't work out. But I would like to see it. Memorial's on fire, so is Central.
But back to what the main story for you tonight in the game of the week, Thursday night special here, Redwood-Hanford. Tell me a little bit about – I know you talked a lot about Hanford going into the year, and, of course, with Kevin Sharton going back home as the head coach of Redwood, we expected big things to happen. Why do you think, Nick, and you'll have the coaches on your show later, but why do you think Redwood is so good and so early, and what do you see?
Well, Kevin Sharton has done a great job building the momentum back up, 85 players out for football. They got a big physical team. They play tremendous defense. And you know, people say, well, Bagmeter, they almost lost to Golden West, 42-38. I don't put – just like Fresno State losing Air Force, you can't look at a wing T-style offense. You're – because all year long, you're playing the spread, you're playing – very rarely you even see the pro tack anymore.
Well, time out. Well, yeah.
But I think they match up better with Hanford than they do against Golden West.
Sure, but what are we talking about here? Golden West is an outstanding football team in their own right.
But they run that smash-mouth offense on it.
They do, but Golden West is very well equipped. I mean, they are clearly one of the favorites in their division for a run at a section.
All I'm saying is they haven't given up 38 points all year long to anybody.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden last week it was a...
Now, would you consider, I would consider, from what I've seen and read and watched on film, now Hanford's played a great schedule in their own right. Hanford, are they the favorite tonight?
I've got Hanford favored by 4 points going
yeah.
in. My pack meter predictions is coming out in about 10 minutes. Because of the home team, I got to watch them play. Hanford's defense might be one of the best in school history, and that's saying a lot. They were a state champions. This defense, also the student athlete of the week on the boys' side is Tyler Mello. I think he's the best linebacker
yes.
in our section from Hanford. He's unblockable. They're starting to put him out at safety, and he just roams up to the line of scrimmage, and you don't know where he's going to line up, so you can't block him. He's making 15 tackles, 20 tackles a game. He is our Josh Hokett of our valley.
Yeah.
On both sides, he's also a tight end. He's a fullback. They got him in different spots, but he's just a man beast.
Well, I'll give you another name, you know, to get off that subject, and you're speaking great defense, Tyler Mello. Let's talk about a young man over at Central High School, Ricky Correa, the defensive tackle, defensive end. He could play at the nose. Tremendous, tremendous story of
and coming, finally healthy.
And healthy and coming back, and the injury is junior year, and then battling back from that. And what I saw as an eighth grader and as a freshman leading into his sophomore year when he was at Edison High School, just an absolute phenomenal specimen who is going to most likely announce tomorrow where he's going to commit to go to college. And he's get offers from Arizona State, Arizona, Cal Berkeley, all over the Pac-12, all over America. I don't think we talk enough about the great defensive players in our valley. Ricky Correa at Central might be the cream of the crop. When you're talking 6'4", 6'5", 300 pounds, that can move with cat-like feet. Ricky Correa, congratulations, number one, to Ricky and his family. But once again, we need to pay him a little more attention to the great defensive players. I see on the Fresno Bee they put out the vote for your player of the week, Fresno Bee, and they're all offensive guys, scored touchdowns here. Kendall Milton, we know all about that, and all these different great talented athletes. When's the last time we saw a Tyler Mello or Ricky Correa up there for player of the week? We need to pay a little more attention to the defensive side.
I don't go by those silly voting. Vote for my player for player of the week. You get more vote. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. So don't even go for that. It's just a popularity. We know the Fresno Bee's falling apart like an old Mervin suit. They're trying to get people involved. I like what they're doing. They spend more time with the Raiders than Fresno State, than local high school, and it just makes me sick to my stomach. I have to tell you, Matt, sorry about that.
Well, good. You obviously didn't pull any punches there. You let it
out,
didn't you?
Well, we do know Fresno State plays tomorrow night against UNLV. It's a Friday night. We know high school is Friday night lights. It's that elephant in the room. How do you handle it?
Yeah.
We do know if you're involved with high school, if you're a player, if you're a parent, grandparent, cheerleader. If you're a fan of high school sports, you're going to your game tomorrow night. There's going to be over 150,000 high school fans tomorrow night in every part.
All over, spread all over the valley.
Spread over. So Fresno State has to battle that. There's going to be the faithful Bulldog fans tomorrow night. The crowd's going to be down. There's no question about it. They're on Friday night, and they got to take the Eddie ESPN money. I get all that.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. That's a heck of a consolation prize, though. Okay, so maybe they won't have a big, large, huge crowd, but they still do get paid. And athletic budgets and being what they are in this day and age, I mean, that's money that they have to have. So I don't begrudge Fresno State for getting Friday games. You've got to get it where you can in this day and age. That's just part of the economics of how it's set up today in television.
So a guy like you will be at Chuck Shanahan Field in Sanger. You'll probably TiVo the game, Fresno State. Come home, watch the game. So if you're going to a high school game, just TiVo the game on ESPN. Go to your high school game, and everyone's a winner, right? Is that how it works?
Yeah, well, if that's what you want to do, do it. I mean, obviously. But the thing is most important to all of this, don't you feel it? I know you said it's fall, it's in the air now, and you know, Halloween's rolling in and Thanksgiving's coming up and all that. But don't you feel a turn? I can, without exception, this has to be the energy I haven't felt in a while in our valley for sports in general.
Yeah.
I maybe it's just the crisp, cool night air or whatever it might be, but I feel the love and energy really gathering momentum for high school sports right now.
Yeah, high school sports is booming because you mentioned Ricky Correa. We got so many great athletes ready to go at the next level, and I think people are excited about that. Here's the other, and I would love to be at, because I'm a high school guy, so there's so many games tomorrow night, but I want to be at Bulldog Stadium. I want to watch Charles Williams take on Jalen Cropper and, you know, Maury Edwards and all the superstar local guys we have. But Bullard Nation will be in Madera playing in the Coyotes. They're going to get the miss to watch Charles Williams, a former Knight. It's a tough one. You know they all want to be there.
Yeah.
Charles would have 1,000 people at the game on Friday night if it wasn't on Friday night. It's a tough one, right?
Yeah, he'll have the people that matter most to him, though, for sure, in Bulldog Stadium will be, you know, his family. And they'll be in. Yes, good point, though, Charles. He is a, he kind of falls off the radar screen a little bit because he is in Vegas playing football there. But what an outstanding story that is. Charles Williams coming from that running back factory from Bullard High School. And every time I tune in, he's doing great things at UNLV. Hats off to the Williams family, and it's working. You know, sometimes these kids go off to colleges, and you really never hear from them again. But when you get guys, you know, you've got Sean Chambers out at Wyoming and Adrian Martinez at Nebraska and Charles Williams, UNLV, and they're all over the place. I mean, there's so many, too many to mention. But it's so good to see that they're actually making their way and becoming a household name for their prospective universities.
Yeah, I follow UNLV on Twitter, and it seems like Charles Williams once a week. Charles Williams, 86-yard run. He's just electric. And then Sean Chambers, I think right now he is 1,000,000% ahead of Josh Allen at this level. Once he figures out how to get a little more accurate throwing the football, it worries me sometimes when I see him run because he's a tailback running with a football in his hand who's a quarterback. Don't you just kind of go, ugh.
Well, you there's testament to that all over the world of football for the running quarterback that eventually has to settle down. I'm seeing a definite – there's only a few quarterbacks, by the way, to where they're so highly intelligent with their football IQ. Russell Wilson comes to mind that could actually rip off and probably run for 1,000 yards and throw for 4,000 yards a season. But he really picks and chooses his moments, and he's very careful about getting in the way of defenders. But short of that, the running quarterback sensation is obviously always out there, but you already see Patrick Mahomes. He's got a couple little hitches, a little extra, a little limp in his giddy up. Guys who move around a lot, they don't last long. You're seeing Marcus Mariota already getting set down for the Tennessee Titans. Football still, at the highest level, ability to be mobile is an important factor to get out of the rush, but you still have to set your feet and throw the football. And as right now, that would be the one area, in my opinion, that Sean Chambers needs to continue to develop, is the ability to be accurate with the football and survey the field and pick out winners downfield.
And he will, I think, what he's still a puppy. Look at him.
Yeah.
And I would like to see him slide more unless, you know, Sean, just keep doing what you're doing. If there's a chance at a first down, we've seen quarterbacks slide a yard short, and we go, what is that?
Yeah.
Or a touchdown, you have an opportunity. But if it's you're out in the open and you're going to get walloped, slide, live another down.
And is it just me, or are we leading the nation in unbelievable developed quarterbacks coming out of our valley that come from small-town community schools?
Yeah.
The two of the guys at Kerman, the Firebaugh, had out Josh Allen. Yeah. Looking over at Dinuba, produced our last great quarterback for the Fresno State Bulldogs, Marcus McMarion, and there's others out there.
We are
producing, you know, Adrian Martinez, Clovis West guy, but still, we are producing unbelievable college level talent.
Yeah, and Adrian Martinez is just one of those guys. He seems to get hurt every year, and maybe he needs to slide more as well. I mean, his body's just not going to be prepared for that type of schedule. You're the college guy with us, and I got an idea because I watch college football and I see these little referees getting it. On further review, it was a direct hit, and he's thrown out of the game. You know, targeting, and I just look and we rewind it 100 times. Well, he didn't. It could have gone either way. My idea, Matt. I want 3 college athletes that are very well known, whatever it is, you can get one. I don't care how they do it. There's plenty out there.
Yeah.
Put them in the booth. Let them decide if it's a targeting. I played football. I know these little white referees, these little guys that are 75 years old, referees who think they know what they're doing about targeting. Give me a break. I'm sorry. Put athletes in there and let them come up. On further review, you get 2 out of 3 votes, right?
Yep.
I would
vote for anything that changes the current direction it's under right now. Great Mountain West Showdown. Hawaii, the Wahine Rainbows going up against the Boise State Broncos, number 14 team in the country right now, undefeated. And early in the game, and by the way, Fresno State's going to have all kinds of trouble with Hawaii, especially back there. Are they going back there, I believe?
Yep.
They're visiting the island. Hawaii's, they're legitimate.
That quarterback's good.
But early in the game, they're going toe-to-toe in a great football game against Boise State. The running back goes off tackle. He's running low. He's falling down low to try to drop his head and go get more yards. And the best football player, I thought, on the field, the linebacker for Hawaii, just cleaned his clock. Clean hit. Loved it. Of course, they go to review because they felt that it was targeting or it was a helmet-to-helmet. So they've got to go take a look at it. They already threw the flag right away, so you know 15 yards.
And who's looking at it, by the way?
Most likely. So someone upstairs is watching this.
Exactly.
And like you said, I have the power to TiVo and rewind back and forth, and I watch that thing, like you said, 10 times over and over again. I don't know what else that linebacker could have done to make such a great play. He clearly didn't target anyone. The running back's carrying the football. His job is to go target and make
survive.
A tackle.
And survive.
And go make a tackle. And he did that. It was not helmet-to-helmet contact. So right away, I'm already thinking, oh, yeah, the review. And even the announcers once again are saying, oh, I don't see anything there. He looks pretty good there. And then they come back down. After further review, the call will stand targeting, and they eject the football player, the college guy, mind you, and he has to miss all rest of the game, and the game really just got started. And now Hawaii's without their best defensive player, and he has to miss the next quarter, whatever, the next game. Can we change that rule? Unless it's blatant, like you said, put some real football people up in that booth where you can make a real critical assessment in a big fat hurry whether or not that was truly targeting. Everybody in America can witness what real targeting is. If you make a clean hit and a good tackle on a running back, I see no violation. If you drop the crown of your helmet and hit him in the side of his helmet directly, okay, I see it. But these glancing blows, half shoulder pad, half the side of your chin, you know, your chin on your helmet grazes to the side, and they're calling it, they're ruining the sport for the defensive football player. They really are.
I think Mountain West did it on purpose. We got to keep Boise State undefeated. It's a lot of money for our program. Get that best player out of here any way you can, you know, or it's pure luck.
The same
goes in the NFL. I want 3 ex-NFL players, let me know if it's pass interference or not on a review. These people, we can't call that pass interference. That'll change everything.
Well, How in the world, talking with Bobby before the show, he's so correct.
Bobby's correct?
Well, they pass a law that now allows you to review pass interference stuff. But yet no one's ever changing their call.
Exactly.
No one's ever listening and seeing that, well, after further, it's always, yeah, we saw it. Good. Thanks for the effort. Yeah. Give me the flag. Yeah. No one's actually listening and working that rule. It's amazing to me how much, with all this new age technology and everything else we've tried to clean the game up, how much we still miss. There are some games out there in the NFL, the Packers and the Lions. That was the worst officiated cost of a game I've seen in recent memory. How is that possible that you can't look at that, throw your little hanky down? Can I get a review on that? His hand was clearly not in the face of the offensive lineman. But yet Detroit very well could make an argument they lost the game or certainly lost the potential to get the ball back and try to score a game-winning field goal based on an official's call. Why wasn't that reviewed?
And let's bring it down to high school. Hey, high school officials, if the ball is overthrown by 25 yards and there's two receivers going, or a receiver and defensive back battling down the line of scrimmage, I mean, down the sidelines, and it could go either way, don't throw a flag if it's uncatchable. I've seen that once a week now, and I know, well, it doesn't have to be caught or not. How about this? Common sense.
Common sense. Thank you. We've taken a lot. We've over, what would be the word, adjudicated the whole system of high school football and college and now pro to the level of we've removed any of the common sense rules. Like, well, you know, there was some jostling going on over there, but Patrick Mahomes threw it about 90 yards into the grandstand. If a ball is out of that far out of the way, does it really matter? Common sense, and you're absolutely right. Well, it's high school football. It doesn't matter if the ball was uncatchable because every week, you know, because we as coaches, we think we know the rules, but we don't, because every week we seemingly come up, what? It's in the rule book? That's the rule? What? I thought you couldn't ground the football. Well, high school football rules are different than other areas.
But that's just
really
bring common sense.
Just common sense.
Common sense. And Jason Murray's favorite. He helps me, you know, when you're not around or he's with us now. Jason's a great guy. He wants to make sure that we're pumping up the Edison Tigers Madera South Stallions golf ladies golf match today. It's a big one. But Jason's favorite is when you see that back judge.
And Jason, I'm sorry, Jason, too. He's going down. I mean, that's a given fact.
I know.
He's
well,
going to lose.
Madera South's favored by one and a half strokes.
At least.
No, but his favorite gripe is the back referee judge will throw that when he sees a holding or something.
Oh, yeah.
He almost turns it, blows his rotator cuff, throwing that flag 60 yards, almost kills a kid.
Yeah.
You see, or how about when we see the pink flags now because there's pink awareness. They'll throw it up above the lights. And you get about 4.5 second hang time. I love that one.
Yeah.
I would do it too, though. If I'm a referee, if I could still throw it, I'm throwing that thing. I want to show off the arm. That's what they do. Nothing wrong with it.
Well,
just make sure it's a good call.
It's theatrical, maybe. I don't know what overall the idea of throwing the flag with that much velocity.
Does that really mean though that they are 100% convinced that I saw it? This is because we saw last week Clovis East Clovis where the referee from the Clovis Unified School District referees ran 60 yards in a 4.340 to say, no, he dropped it, but we look back and he caught it. So does that mean when he throws a flag that far that, you know, it's confirmed?
Definitely does lend itself to, an interpretation that he was fully convinced that there was a infraction, because if you're throwing it that hard, that's conviction, man.
Yeah.
I saw that one.
How many years ago was it when the referee took out the Cleveland Browns defensive end? Remember
right
that
in the
one?
Eyeball. That was nasty.
How'd you get hurt? You take your leg down in the big game against the Steelers? No, the referee threw a flag, hit me in the face, I'm out. No, but I would just like to see more common sense in high school, especially for the because I think a lot of times if it's on the sidelines of the on the offense, they start yelling a lot, the referee's going to call that flag because it's the momentum. Oh, come on! Okay, flag. Common sense, and then college, put some ex-players in the booth, and you watch. It's going to happen. After we've been talking about it, 3 years from now, we'll see some ex.
Yeah, because it really does not require nothing more than probably a two-hour clinic with the officials to kind of brush up on really what are the things that constitute the rules. You know, they'd have to get a little rule clinic that they would go to, these ex-players. But it would certainly lend itself to a little bit less scrutiny if we knew that up in the booth was, you know, Ronnie Lott representing the defensive side, you know, Jerry Rice as a wide receiver,
put a guy like
interference, and then grab a linebacker or defensive lineman or offensive lineman guy. You put three varieties of that, and then it's up to those three to decide, and they only have, let's say, 30 seconds to come up with a conclusive vote between the three of them how they rule. It'd be kind of hard for me at home to say, how did Ronnie not see that?
Yeah.
You know, you would your argument would be kind of
Gary Turner is an attorney in, you know, New Jersey. You know, he called it, you know, the official who does it every, you know, once a week. Put a guy like Cameron Worrell up there. He's played college and NFL. Put guys like that in the booth and let them decide. And if they can't, three of them decide, he's innocent.
Yeah.
Okay, 100%. Oh, no, he clearly. Because here's my gripe. You really try to tell me that right before that play, that player goes, you know what, I'm targeting somebody. This is 58th play, and I'm upset with that tight end. If I get a shot. Well, it's a battle of survival.
Yeah,
you can't tell. The guy's coming at, like you said, I got a fullback, weighs 230 pounds coming at me. I want to survive.
You're right. Just the pure use of the word targeting kind of conjures up this image that I'm in the huddle thinking, okay, this is 36. I'm getting him this play. I'm going to target him. I'm going to go after him, and I'm going to get him. Hey, reality is in the milliseconds the thing happens and you've got to make a tackle. We have not taken a break yet, and I know we went past the break time there, haven't we?
We're getting close.
Are we good?
Yeah, we got game day live. If you are going to the Fresno State game, we got some game day live for the tailgate. And come on down and Fashion Furniture. We got Dickie's Barbecue. What did you have today?
I had a pulled pork, barbecue pulled pork.
You like, that's your favorite, huh?
I haven't finished it yet. I did a minute before show started, and then when we take a break, I'll finish it.
Well, let's take a break. We're going to come back with the Hanford Bullpups head coach, Josh Young, 7-0. It's going to be a huge crowd tonight out in Hanford. The legendary Andy Bogart is going to broadcast with me tonight.
Beautiful.
I get Andy behind the, and he's Mr. Hanford. So it's going to be a good one. Let's talk with Josh, and then at 1 o'clock, Kevin Chardon is going to join us from Redwood, who's, I don't know, his first year at Redwood, he's 7-0. Not too bad. Let's take a break. Don't go anywhere. Hanford, Redwood, we're talking football when we come back. We'll be right back. Matt, take
don't
us to break.
Don't turn the dial.
There
Thanks for throwing it my way. We'll be right back. Thank you.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Colliers International, Fashion Furniture across from River Park, Emmanuel Schools, and Van Buren Insurance.
We are live right here at Fashion Furniture. This is your Rise Show. Talking week 9 of high school football. Already week 9. It's unbelievable. We're right around the corner. It's going to be playoffs. We're going to find out all the seedings that are going on. So much going on in high school football. It's the Pag Meter. It's Matty J here at Fashion Furniture. Thank you to Dickie's Barbecue if you're hungry. We got plenty of sandwiches left. Also, if you're not going to high school football on Friday night, we got some game day live. Or maybe you go to the game day live and then you go to high school football. You got a lot of choices. But it's the best tailgate party there is. Las Vegas in town. Charles Williams is bringing the road show to Bulldog Stadium. And I just look in. It's Friday Night Lights. I'd love to see Charles myself. He's such a great kid. So we're going to be talking of week 9, of course. Kevin Chardon at 1 o'clock. We're going to talk about also at 1 o'clock, in the 1 o'clock hour, what does it mean to be decommitting? You know, kids commit to a college, then some of them decommit. We're going to talk about why is that happening. But let's go down to Hanford right now. Where Andy Bogart and I will be tonight for the showdown, 7-0 Redwood versus 7-0 Hanford, the head coach of the Bullpups, Josh Young on the line. Josh, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Well, Josh, what is the buzz in Hanford right now? I feel like this is a section championship game tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has a playoff vibe to it. I mean, we've got two great teams that are in Division II, and I wish it was a Friday night, but we'll take a Thursday and be the only game that's going on, and hopefully it's a packed crowd, and should be a lot of energy in Neighbor Bowl tonight.
I think it's going to be a packed house. I think Redwood will bring in a great crowd. Of course, Hanford, you guys have such a super crowd, enthusiasm. Let's talk about the Bullpups. You have a fantastic offense. You got a very, very physical defense. Let's start with the offense. Give me some of the names that we're going to be hearing tonight.
Well, I think you'll hear Juwan Watts-Brown. He's a quarterback. I think you'll hear from a couple of different running backs, Latrell Young, and hopefully we get the freshman in there, Brandon Ramirez, excuse me. Some of the receivers in the offensive line, guys to look at, Terry Rubalcava. I think P.J. Martinez has a big night tonight as well.
Yeah, you mentioned Rubalcava. He is on fire lately. He's been the big target for Brown, and I like him. He's fast. Once he gets the ball, he's gone. Tell me about the defensive side. My Pac Meter Student Athlete of the Week is Tyler Mello. I think he's the best linebacker. Is he one of the best in Hanford history?
I think so. I think that he brings back some of those years that we had some really good linebackers in the early 2000s with John Clark and Matt Maciel, and even before that, you know, in 2014, had some good guys. It's put out some linebackers. We put out some linebackers over the years, but he definitely stands out as one of the best that I've coached, for sure.
We're talking with Josh Young, the head coach of the Hanford Bullpups tonight. It's a big one. Undefeated, the Rangers of Redwood taking on Hanford at 7-0. And you circled this one. We all knew this was going to be the game because both teams were loaded coming in. Tell me about your defensive front, because I really like your defensive front. They're very physical, and they get to the quarterback.
We've got some guys. I mean, we're not like the biggest up front, but we got some guys that have some speed, and they've got good strength, and there's about five guys that we can rotate in there, so they always stay fresh. So we really like the way that they're playing, and hopefully they can continue to play that way tonight.
Josh, you've state championship teams. You've had some great Hanford teams. And I know people probably ask you this a million times. How does this team compare to some of your great teams?
Well, you know, the book is still being written on this team. You know, so far I really like the way that they compete. I like the way that they run the football. I think, you know, we're pretty physical on defense and very efficient on offense. They're a very cerebral team offensively, and they run the offense very, very well, not necessarily rely on just athleticism to get the job done. We really execute at times, and so I'm really proud of that. And defensively, we run the football and pretty aggressive when we get there. So it's a big, very, very, very good group of kids.
Josh Young from Hanford, and that, on the other side of the ball, the blue team from Redwood's going to be there. They're 7-0. Tell me about Redwood. What do they look like on film?
They play hard, and that's the only thing that jumps off the screen. Is you can tell that they are well coached, and they are they're very physical, and they don't give up. Obviously, they've had some very tight games down in the fourth quarter. They just pulled a lot of wins out in the fourth quarter, but they play very fast, very physical, and they're a very energetic football team, and they don't make a lot of mistakes.
And what's the X factor for Hanford tonight to be 8-0? After the gun goes off, what has to happen?
We've got to take care of the football on offense, not commit any turnovers or limit our turnovers, and try to give the quarterback time. You know, the Hudson Walker kid is a dynamite player, and he'll definitely be coming after it. So we got to take care of the football on offense and protect the quarterback, and just don't allow the big play on defense, and rally to the ball when we get there.
Great call, Josh Young. Well, we're excited tonight. Andy Bogart and I will be up in the booth. I was going
to
be going crazy. Josh Young, the Hanford Bullpup coach. Sorry, I think I lost you there for a minute, Josh. So I'm excited. We'll see you tonight.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It should be a packed crowd, and always great when you guys come roll into town.
You got it. Josh Young from the Hanford Bullpups, and Bob Kajanian chiming in. He goes, he likes right now in the officials when they're looking at targeting. They got some ex-officials who a lot of them probably never played football before. Sorry, Bob, but I want ex-players in there because ex-officials were always going to say he's guilty. That's just how it is, Matt.
Yeah, typically, though, we would have responded to our good friend Bob after you, like, finished up your interview.
Well,
and
kinda, well I got to get that out.
Closed out the Hanford story. Having a tremendous year, Hanford.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
The coach is obviously coach speak, but he's right on the money with it. It's really a matter of Redwood likes to fly around. They've closed out some close games, so they obviously have that finish mentality. And Hanford is just as skilled. It's like you said, the defensive line in the front, they're not that large at Hanford, but, boy, they move very well, and they get off blocks, and they're very active. This is going to be a great football game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be packed. I think Redwood, the side. Hanford is a great stadium, by the way. Great home side. Plenty of room on the visiting side. It's going to be loud. Hanford has a great student body. It's going to be packed, and that's just why week 9 high school football, the winner is in the driver's seat to be the number one seed.
Well, you're very fortunate, and it's very unusual to have teams 7 weeks in, 8 weeks in, both undefeated. That's just a marquee matchup. This is like a LSU getting ready to play Alabama. That's going to be a battle and a very big-time contest. This is the same kind of setup when you have undefeated teams. I don't know how many times in someone's career you get an opportunity later in the year to go match up with a rival-type game, and both are undefeated. I remember back a few years, more than a few years ago, but I remember Tim McDonald bringing in a Edison team against Bullard, and they were both undefeated, number one and two in the Valley. That's the kind of football game that is going to be high energy, a lot of people there. You're going to get to call a good one tonight, then.
Yeah. I'm hoping Jim Critchlow is listening. So when they get to the playoff, are we still doing the coaches voting? Do you know?
I don't know. I really don't.
I don't like it, and I'll tell you why. Because I guarantee some of the coaches have not seen the Central Coast teams. I guarantee the Division Five teams don't like Mission Oaks and Madera South, the big teams coming in Division Five. So you're not going to get voted on. I don't like it. If I haven't seen every team in every division, how the heck am I supposed to vote on San Luis Obispo? I hear they're 6-1, but I haven't seen them play yet. So who? I don't like it.
Well, that's where the PAG meter comes in. We have to read your website and follow up with what's happening week to week. The great thing, though, about getting the coaches included is that, you know, we follow this stuff, obviously, very close. We watch a lot of film on a variety of different opponents, even though we might not be playing that opponent. The opponent we're playing is playing against that other opponent. So you get the full depth of who's good and who's not. The downside is exactly right. With the growth of our section, you can't physically see everyone. So you're really making a judgment call on hearsay or what you might think is reality. But isn't that the way they do it in college right now? Isn't that the coach's poll? I mean, how does the coach
well, they watch it on
how does
TV,
Nick
maybe.
Saban really know how good Boise State is, really? I
mean, well, I'm sure he's watching a little on TV.
Oh, come on. He's just like what we're doing here in high school. He doesn't get a chance. Why are you laughing?
Know.
I mean, it's
no,
a fact.
I know. I agree.
Do you think Dabo Sweeney's really too concerned about what Army looks like right now? I don't think so.
No, I think Dabo and Nick Saban already involved with the corrupt Division I college football. They already know they're going to be playing on that championship, on at least the Final Four, because Auburn's on fire. We got other teams on fire. But unfortunately, Boise State has zero chance, which is sad.
Yeah, and the other thing is what it is. How else can you test whether a team is good or not by anything more than their record? Because I'm looking at, like I said, 13 or 14 ranked Boise State. I don't think they're that good. If you're trying to tell me that there's 14 teams, let's say a top 15 team, I'll guarantee you there's 50 teams I could pull out of the board that would beat Boise State. And they're never going to get a ranking. Why? Because they're 3-3 or 4-2. Or it's all based on record. And sometimes records can be obviously very deceiving.
But even if Boise State goes undefeated, they got no chance of playing in the Final Four.
Probably not.
Which is sad.
Probably not.
I mean, until
there would have to be a lot of crazy losses take place before. That's the only reason why people, you know, Nick Saban will tell you, heck, he said it to Christopher Gabriel in an interview a couple national championships ago that, you know, I think when you get down to the top four, I don't think anybody can dispute those are the four best teams in the country. And certainly with the team that wins it all is the best team in the nation. He's probably right, but it still leaves room for people to wonder, why wasn't there 8 teams or 16 teams? Because if a Boise State or a Central Florida wins 13 games in a row, don't you think it just would be nice to see what would happen? I think so.
They won't. They don't want to give away the money. It's all about money. They're going to keep it in their little pocket, and they're going to throw those little potato chip bowl to the little teams that are 7-5 or 6-6.
I'm not even so sure it's about – it's always about money for the most part.
They don't want to give it up.
But I think the idea is we're going to let this – this is why they do these – we've finally got a playoff. What is it like? Well, we're going to do four teams. Well, that's not really a playoff.
No.
Yeah, but it's something, right? Well, we're under contract with whoever for the next – 8 years, so we got to at least wait that long to revive. Because I think they're basically big-time promoters. The NCAA, the power brokers of college athletics, they really are Don King-type Bob Arum. They're promoters. So they're going to promote, and when the public gets so outraged that it's not a larger playoff, now they've got the energy to get ready to spring for more money because now everyone's going to watch. I think they have to string it along before it goes absolutely crazy, and then the people start talking about how they need a playoff, and guys like you and I get into it, and everybody's talking about America, and then they wait for another 2 years to really get the energy right, and then they say, yep, we did it. And then that's how they continue to perpetuate this idea that they're all for us. In reality, what they're doing is creating an energy, an enthusiasm for more games, more money, and they do it by holding us back. If they just gave the public everything we wanted, there'd never be a need for any promotion because people would get tired of it.
But I think people will still watch the big game. But I think what's going to happen, too, you're going to see the other, like I just said, the Cucumber Bowl, with you pitting two teams you really haven't heard of and you're watching. Because you and I will watch anything. College football, we're watching, unless Beth Mowins is a broadcasting. We're going to turn it off.
Right.
But but we're going to watch that game, and there's 2,500 people in the stands. And until the sponsors go, I don't want anything to do with that bowl game because we're not getting anything out of it. I know it's on TV, but there's no one in the stadium. And what? Two of their potential stars aren't going to play in the game because might be in the NFL draft. They're going to not play in
but
the game.
What
you're
going to
start seeing more of that.
What you're forgetting, which you're not trying to forget this because you're fully aware of it, but your point is there except for one distinguishing factor. The sponsors will still be there because they know one thing. Of course, there's only 3,500 people in the Astro Blue Bonnet, Hickory Stick Bowl. But there's millions and millions of people converging upon Las Vegas to bet every bowl game. So they're getting a lot of exposure. The gambling aspect of these meaningless bowls you talk about no one goes to, well, I'm still taking a good keen interest in some of those bowl games because that's the holidays. And the holidays are family, and we're all around the table, and we're not caring that there's only a few people in the stands. We care about we're going to have another turkey leg and watch another football game. And we don't care if it's Southeast Louisiana playing Grambling or if it's USC and Notre Dame. We don't care. We just know that there's more action on the TV screen. And for those people in the betting halls in Vegas, oh, they certainly matter because that's where the money's at.
So you're going to go with that one?
Oh, no question.
Yeah. Instead of having a real, can you imagine what the real Las Vegas would be if we had a real playoff?
Well, of course, but you're asking for a real playoff akin to a shortened down version of March Madness. That will never happen because when we go to eight, then you're going to say, but what about a 16-team tournament? And at that point, it just becomes ridiculous.
I want a real 16-team playoff.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Why can they do it?
I'd love to see something like that.
They do it in Division II and
Won't
III,
happen.
And they do it in 8 and under girls soccer.
The money,
how come we can't do it in Division I college football?
The money in
there you said it.
The money in FCS football
exactly.
is so small in comparison to FBS, the big division football, that they're not going to try to take away games. We already have a 12, some teams 13 game regular schedule. Let's tack on that many more football games. So what they would do is they would say, either we pare back our regular season contest to 10 or 11 games. When I played college football, it was 11 games. They're going to pull a game out, and then revenue is going to be lost in that area. 16 teams is too much. And by the way, if you need to be convinced that the 16th team in the country has a right to go play against a Power 5 team such as LSU.
This is where you're wrong.
They're not good enough.
This is where you're
eight.
Wrong. Let me tell you why you're wrong.
Eight teams would be the perfect level.
Because if Fresno State has an opportunity to win the Mountain West, because right now the Mountain West, I don't even know where the winner goes anymore. Because once Vegas gets the new trillion-dollar stadium, that's gone, and who knows what's going to happen. But if Fresno State can win the Mountain West, and they might be able to host Utah or whatever, these four or five-star athletes will go, I'm just going to go to Fresno State. I can still play on Sunday. I don't have to go all the way to Alabama. And because everyone's invited to the party, all of a sudden those great athletes will thin out and go all over the place. But right now, they're only going to the top programs because I want to win a national championship.
No.
I can only go there.
No.
Guarantee that would happen.
Other
schools would have an opportunity to get those athletes.
That's probably such a small percentage of reasons these high-profile athletes go to schools because – of course, everyone would like to win something. A championship would be nice. You're going because of the brand. You're going to Alabama. You're going to Georgia, Clemson.
Okay, right now they're on fire, though, Matt. What happens all of a sudden? Alabama goes 6-5 one year. How's that going to work out? And all of a sudden, kids are leaving and back.
They can go 6-5 without any kind of playoff. Okay. That could happen on
exactly.
Too bad recruiting efforts and what have you.
Exactly.
I'm taking this. There'll always be. This is America. There will always be the mega giants, there will always be the middle of the roads, and there will always be the small school specialist. You can never, ever take all of that based on a playoff and expect that all of a sudden UC Davis or Fresno State or someone's going to be a superpower giant.
Well,
how is that even possible?
It happens in college basketball. We got the
You think the top blue chip for college basketball, who's got on his list Kentucky, UCLA, Louisville, all of a sudden he's going to take Davidson because they went to the playoff and did well.
But at least Fresno State has a chance in the big show in March Madness. Let's take a break. Kevin Chardon is going to join us from Redwood. And then week 9 of high school football, what makes it commit and non-commit? We'll talk about that as well. Don't go anywhere. Live, I hear it, Fashion Furniture. This is a Rice Show, 940 ESPN.
We'll be right back.
Here comes Shazari, has the ball in at the buzzer. He throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76-all, Shazari flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Shazari goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Welcome back. We are live here at Fashion Furniture. This is your Rise Show for Thursday. Thank you, Fashion Furniture, a tremendous sponsor. It's a Pagmeter, Matty J, but thank you for making Rise Show the longest lasting sports show there is. We've been doing this for,
I don't know. I think it's, like, I don't know, might be 51 or 50 years anniversary. I don't know.
I remember just, we got to thank Mark Hsu again.
We've been doing this together.
Yeah. Thanks to Mark Hsu.
For quite a while, yes.
He called me one day, hey, you got to get a hold of Matt Johnson. He is so funny. You guys would be great together, even though you didn't like me from the get-go.
I was a part of a club, and there's a lot of us that, not me anymore. I love you, kid, but, you know, let's be honest.
You thought I was an enemy.
Hard to like. I mean, you have some things, there's some things you know, your techniques are can get you a little bit every now and then. But overall, now that I got to actually meet you, I understand how much time. I'm driving some of my football kids home the other night after our night practice. And they all know, you know, you and I do this thing, and they were getting on me about the Peg Meter. I don't understand his ranking. So they're all following your stuff, and they're popping off about you. And how did you ever meet? And this guy, what is this guy? And then I told them the kind of things you do, and they were just amazed. Right now, he's probably in a hotel room somewhere in Utah on location at one of his many things he does, and he's probably on his laptop at midnight putting together rankings and writing reports on different schools. And that's when they finally got it. That's why I like this guy, this Pagmeter guy. And they got it. Coach, I understand. You're right. I wonder how that's he does that on his own. His daughter helps with a little bit of the website graphic stuff, but the content, for the most part, is all you. You are absolutely absorbed into this world of high school athletics beyond anything I've ever
and I have no idea
ever
why.
Seen.
Well, I broke you like it's like Seabiscuit, you're saying. So you hated me from the get go, you found out, you know.
Seabiscuit. Not familiar with the story. I know it's a great racehorse. I didn't know that the horse had to, was it a stallion that had to get broken down before it could run?
He broke his paw.
I have no idea.
He broke his paw and still raced. He had some, you know, I like it.
He's got a paw now. Okay. We're just,
a hoof.
We're getting good.
Well, let's go to, you want to go to Redwood right now? We got a big one tonight.
I think you need to go to Redwood, where arguably, you know, one, two, or three. This is the coach of the year. Let's talk with Kevin Sharton.
Brand new coach from Redwood. He comes from Dinuba. 7-0, Kevin Sharton. Coach, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good. Well, Coach, how many Ranger fans are heading to Hanford tonight?
You know, we're expecting a good crowd there. You know, I mean, it doesn't get any better. Two league teams at 7-0 and you know, battling out for a possible league title.
Coach, without, you know, the obvious, you know, great talent and great football players and all that kind of stuff, what does it take, a quality group of assistants along with your direction, what does it take to do the magic on the football field that you've done so many times over your career?
You know, absolutely. Just a great coaching staff, you know, and you know, I was lucky to assemble a pretty good staff here at Redwood High School. And you know, we have good chemistry. We work together, come up with a game plan, and it helps a lot when you have some good kids out there, you know, that believe in the system. So I guess you could say that's the magic.
We're talking with Kevin Sharton, the head coach, Redwood Rangers, 7-0, 2-0 in the WYL. Showdown tonight, we'll have it on 940 ESPN, Andy Bogart and I. And tell us about, I mean, last week you won a tough one. Golden West is people don't realize how good and how strong they are up front. But I said on my notes, boy, if Redwood can get past Golden West, and it's not going to be an easy one, they'll be ready for Thursday night. But tell me about last week and what a great game that was.
Yeah, you know, I would say our first six games, our offense leaned a lot on our defense. You know, they gave us great field position and did all the things they needed, you know, to get the ball in our hands. And coming into Golden West, you know, they definitely humbled us. They, you know, they put up over 300 yards rushing. So I think that's more yards in one game than we've given up all season combined. So we were humbled, but offensively we were able to put together some long drives and keep our defense off the field for the most part, and we were just able to outscore them, you know, and that's what it came down to.
Well, you know as well as anyone, Coach, that when you're on these kinds of runs and you've got a good football team, as I was telling some kids the other night, that, you know, you can't think that you're just going to get it easy. There's times and during the season where those are the kind of victories and the kind of finish you have to come up with to go on a championship run. Even though it's tough and even though you gave up all those yards, I know as a coach you have to be feeling good that your guys still found a way to get it done.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, honestly, it's, you know, it's one game at a time, and you know, this game does have, you know, a lot to it, you know, being a league championship and possibly seedings for the playoffs. But you know, just keeping our guys grounded, you know, knowing in big games that, you know, you look at the little things and the things that work, you do what you do, you know. So, you know, I think sometimes teams go out on a big game and they you know, sometimes coaches try to overcoach or make too many adjustments, but you know, we're just, you know, we're going to do what we do and play hard and try to limit our mistakes. And, you know, hopefully it'll work out for us.
Well, Coach, as you stare into the face of your big opponent tonight in Hanford, what type of things give you major concern on what they're capable of doing?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, from goal line to goal line, Hanford's good, you know. So, you know, Mello, their linebacker, he's amazing. He's probably one of the best linebackers I've seen since I've been a head coach in high school football. You know, that kid's just all over the field. He takes off blocks. He gets off blocks. But usually they're calling his number, you know, when a tackle's made. So I'm really impressed with him. And the quarterback's a dual threat back there. He just, you know, he you know, got to keep him in the pocket, try not to let him run. And they got to some big running backs, and they're, you know, their D line is fast and they get after it. So,
yeah,
you know, I really don't see any weaknesses, you know, in them. And, you know, so, you know, we really have our work cut out for us. I think we match up pretty good with them. We just got to, you know, we got to be able to run the ball. You know, I mean, that's kind of our philosophy. Got to be able to run the ball, and hopefully that'll open up some passing, you know, some play action passes or whatever it may be. So, I don't know. We're looking forward to a good game, and, you know, I definitely think it's going to be a coin toss tonight, you know. Who comes up victorious?
Well, on your side there, you've got a young man that, you know, we don't talk very much, Nick and I, about this position, but you've got one who might be the best I've seen in a while on film, and certainly is a position we don't talk about much in high school, but you've got a tight end in Sam Olsen. What a special young man he is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, he's got the size, he's got the heart, you know, and Sam, he's probably the most competitive guy on our football team, you know. I mean, even in practice, you know, he does not like to lose. He does not like to be denied the ball, you know, and, you know, he gets a bit chippy out there, you know, if things don't go his way. But, you know, I'll take a kid like that any day. But, yeah, Sam Olsen's been great for us this year. And, you know, he blocks for us, and we try to get the ball in his hands. And definitely happy to have that kid on our sideline.
We're talking with Kevin Sharton, the head coach of Redwood. Tonight it's Hanford versus Redwood at Hanford, both undefeated. And I said at the beginning of the year, your X factor is your quarterback, Ryan Rios. He's got to have a great game tonight because you know Hanford's coming after him. How much has he improved from day one?
You know, he's improved a lot, you know. And, I mean, just, you know, him along with the rest of the team, it's a work in progress still as we speak today. We're still learning the offense. And, you know, the last couple of weeks, you know, we've been able to add a little bit of things to our offense as far as formations and motions, you know, and being able to execute them on Friday night. You know, sometimes you get it done in practice, but then, you know, Friday comes along and they tend to forget. But we've been getting better at that. And, yeah, Ryan, he's getting better every week, and he's taking more command of the offense. And, you know, he's another competitor on the team. You know, it's nice to have a quarterback, you know, that wants the ball in his hands if it's the last drive, and that's him. You know, he does an outstanding job for us.
Coach, before I turn it over to the Pag Meter to finish off as he gets ready to go out for this great game tonight, you mentioned, and I asked you the question about the magic and what puts a team at the point to where you're at right now, and you did mention your assistant coaches. Give us some of the names of your staff there and give them a little bit of love on air.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we have defensive coordinator, Coach Clements, our defense coordinator. He's a former Redwood graduate also, but he also spent some time at Hanford, you know, so he won a couple of Valley titles over there and a state title as their defensive coordinator. So, you know, it's nice to have him on our sideline tonight. And we have Michael Wright, you know, defensive back coach, and he was one of my former players and played 4 years at Sacramento State. So he's on there. And I have Skip Pendergast that's, you know, he's in his 80s. So we definitely have a guy there with a lot of experience, you know, and his son Brad coaches running backs for me. And he's been under the Redwood El Diamante system, or the former El Diamante system, you know, so he really knows the pro set offense. And Delano Henry, he's our wide receiver coach, and he played under Coach Rogers at El Diamante. So, you know, and if you know anything about Redwood, Dinuba, and El Diamante, you know, we run that pro-style offense.
Oh, yeah.
Came from Roger Kelly back in the day.
Yeah, and, that's
offensive
right.
Offensive line, I have Brian Rodriguez, who he came from me from Dinuba, so he was with me many years, so he's, you know, well in tune with the offense. And last but not least, Brian McDonald. You know, he's our defensive line coach, and again, he's a guy that was, you know, at Redwood under Coach Yavasil, and he also played under Coach Rogers, and he was here under Coach Ball for a while. So he's very familiar with what we do. So it's an outstanding staff, and we have great chemistry, and it really does start there. You know, preparing the kids and getting them ready for Friday night.
Oh, they're all great teachers, and what really stands out from what you're saying about those great coaches is you've got a real familiarity with the community, with the teams in that area. You've done an outstanding job, Coach. I want to thank you for all you do for the kids and for your staff, and I'm sure you're going to put on the best show you can tonight. Wish you the best. Thank you so much, though. And Yeah, go ahead, Coach.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say thank you. You know, I appreciate that.
Well, Kevin Chardon, we're excited. Andy Bogart and I are excited to put this game on the big stick tonight. It's going to be a good one. Best of luck, and we'll see you tonight.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, Coach.
Kevin Chardon, off to a 7-0 start in his new he's a Redwood graduate, but he comes back home, and he's got the whole community buzzing.
Yeah.
With 80-plus players out for football, and that's when you got it going on.
Yeah, and I feel the same way about, Hanford, obviously. Wish I could have, been a part of that interview and asked the coach about more of his assistance. But, in between those two schools, Hanford and Redwood, there's no secret that you have to have talent. It's a player's game. But it's how you manage and organize and teach and conduct your day-to-day part of your operation to extrapolate the championship flavor. And right now they've got flavor on both those schools. And it's a tribute to the administration and to the coaching staff and, of course, the players.
Well, speaking of high school coaches, we have Norm Brown, who resigned a few days ago from the North Stars.
Yeah.
Along with Antonoff Harris, not at Edison anymore. In 2.5 years, that is 50 coaching changes out of about 125 schools. That's amazing.
It is. And it's a tough business. It's not necessarily I don't think it should reflect that much turnover, but then again, you're asking these coaches to do a lot, and they sacrifice their family and time, and sometimes they've got a fan base or administrative base or whatever it might be that's a little bit too harsh on them maybe, or there's things that go on from both sides. I never like when a coach leaves mid-season, though. I never like when I hear, not so much about Coach Harris' situation, that's a different situation, but when a coach leaves and makes it upon himself that he's going to resign during midseason, it's not good.
Something had to happen for that to happen.
Now, it could be health. It could be a variety
family
of reasons.
Issue.
And that's fair, very fair. But I just, when you hear all this turnover and then when a coach, you see that in the National Football League when if the Arizona Cardinals win or lose six in a row, the coach is asked to step down midseason. That happens in college and mainly in pro football. But when it trickles down to high school, it's getting a little out of control.
Yeah, what people don't realize, too, is if you get a new coach, then he's got to go get a new staff. He's got to get a staff for the JV team and the freshman team, and it trickles all the way down. And there's not a lot of coaches out there. I don't know where we're going to get all these guys.
Yeah, the hardest part, I do believe, is keeping the energy alive because it's no longer the days of when you played high school football and baseball and everything else you did. It wasn't a year-round cycle that you're under. Now the football season will end sometime in November, might go a little bit longer for a few squads, but in November football will end, and then you'll be on this show still with you and I. We'll be talking to somebody, and December 3rd, our conditioning off-seasons program starts, and now you're still – you never leave. I mean, it goes, and then you have a little moment there, and then it's spring football, then it's summer workouts, 5 a.m. wake-up calls, and then you've got your – it never ends.
And it's tough,
and
you're
these
right.
Coaches, you get on this mousetrap, if you will. You're spinning it, and you're spinning it, and you start to sometimes sit back on your drive to your 6 a.m. morning workout thinking – when was the last time I really had a moment to shut her down? So coaches have to be very mindful of balancing what really matters, your own family, friends, and the spirit and the health of each and every one of you. And you can still get all that done. But I think the competition in football and high school athletics in general, someone created this thing where we have to do it year-round. Hey, is your winter workout started yet? Well, no, we're letting the kids actually wrestle and play basketball. You don't have a winter workout program? Everyone's doing it now. So that's the burnout effect is in full-fledged mode in high school now.
Yeah, guys like you, and then they got to deal with the administration. You got to deal with parents. You got to deal with transfers. It's a college life with high school money. And
but let me give you the positive side, though, the major positive side. Aside from the fact that you get to engage yourself with great, young, energetic kids, many who have problems, many who don't know what's quite wrong with they're going through, but you're there to help and mentor and foster a relationship that carries a lifetime. If you're in the business to sit around and care only about winning or some of the things that some people probably carry around, this ego thing, then you're in it for the wrong reasons. If you're in it to become a second father or a second mother to some of these talented athletes all over the valley, then you're in it for the right reason, because that's what it becomes. You inherit a new family, and it's a very large family, especially in the world of football. There's 100 kids from all levels that are needy. Coach, I forgot my girdle. And all those things add up in your mind. Coach, I don't have no ride. Everything that can go on in a young kid's life, the coach is there to be that force to help him get through it. And if you're in it for that, you can go home late, miss your family's dinner, but sit down on your couch and realize, boy, did you really help some youngsters today get through some tough stuff. And that's the rewarding part. I know it sounds cliche, but everyone, you know, Kevin Sharton and the coaches that you've dealt with all these years, that's the best part of it all. When you walk down the street and someone's like, is that you, coach? That's the best part of all.
And nobody does better than you do. Let me talk right now. This is my time. I let you talk for 5 minutes. This is why the Edison Tigers are slowly dwindling, because Matt Johnson was the perfect guy over there. And I had to shut his earphones off for a minute, because I got to tell you, and Edison's next coaching hire has to be the perfect fit, a guy like Matt Johnson, who's going to not only coach wins and losses, all that, but he's going to be the father, the psychologist, the uncle, the best friend, and he's going to have to do that all. Sorry, Matt, I had to shut your earphones off to get that out of you, because you do a great job, and you're doing a great job in Madera South. So I just want to share that with
everybody. Okay, enough. You had to shut my headphones off. Okay,
because
so
I know
tired
you complain about
hearing
it.
No, you, okay, enough. I think everybody that has a listening device to hear this knows that already.
Well,
thank
when
you.
I get to stand
it's
next
not,
to the timeline,
stop
I can do
using
that.
My name, please. Stop. Okay? All these things that we do are not about you or I. It's just that we are in that club. We're in the spirit of this thing that we all do together, and that's it. The bottom line is everyone who's in this business and enjoys the business, has their ups and downs, has to be that person in today's day and age. You have to be transformational. You have to transform a young person's life, male or female, for the better, period. And transactional coaching is out. And transactional coaching is what I grew up with a lot of my coaches. Grab you by the face mask because they're upset and embarrassed that you dropped the ball. And now the game is lost because you dropped the ball. I mean, who coaches like that? I hope there's no one out there that does that anymore. But the bottom line is we are put on this planet, I believe, as you believe, and every one of those coaches, male and female, around the valley that follow your show, Nick, most all of them can take some of the pain away of how hard things can get by the fact that you help change people's lives, young people's lives, were impacted by the coaches. So don't use my name. You should, when you say things like that, knock me off the air. You should, instead of put me out, say, this goes out to all the coaches that have those kind of attributes.
Well said.
Great job.
I just was bringing up a certain point.
Yeah, you always bring up this Edison thing. I guarantee you, there's zero chance of me ever
talking to
a Fresno Unified Administrator for the rest of my life based on the fact of how much damage that you found a way to do on air and off air. You are a gem.
Thank you.
A dandy of controversy. It just falls off you at everywhere we go.
This is why we have a hot show. If you want to be vanilla, this is not your show. We're hot fudge.
What does vanilla or anything got to do with the fact that you're using my name, turning me off air where I can't tell you to shut up, and you're going to use my name?
I just had to share that.
You had to share it.
Yeah, that's just what I do. Let's take a break. I want to ask Matt.
Sure.
What, and don't say anything now. I'll have to shut you off now, too. What is committing, decommitting when you're a college athlete? Because you've been through it a lot with all these players when they come to you and go, Coach, I don't want to go to school A. I'm going to go to school B. And we're going to talk about it. Don't go anywhere. And also week 9 of high school football. We'll be right back. It's the Rise Show. Don't go anywhere.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Colliers International, Fashion Furniture across from River Park, Emmanuel Schools, and Van Buren Insurance.
Back. It's the Rise Show. Show for your Thursday. It's the Pack Meter. It's Maddie J. Phone is blowing up. If you can call in the show, if you can, 844-940-ESPN, or message me like you're doing. But a lot of people are listening, eh, Matt? And it's local sports at its finest here at Fashion Furniture. Thank you to Dickie's Barbecue, Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone, across the street from River Park, and Moe's next door. I went in before the show. God, that place looks good right next door.
Design, clean, ridiculous, fresh. There it is. There it is. Can I put a little last shout out for a ladies golf match going on right now? Young ladies from Madera South and Edison High School, get after it today. Shout out to
where's the game? Was it Riverside? Where are they playing?
That is a very good point.
I think Jason would tell us.
Well,
that.
It could be Riverside. Maybe it's at the Country Club in Madera. That's a very good question.
Yeah, who's the home team?
That's a very good one. But we will find out, because I guarantee you Coach Murray should probably let us know if his Lady Tigers can match wits with the Stallions.
Yeah. It comes down to putting.
Well, for me, it comes down to just driving it off the tee somewhere down the fairway, preferably with a little bit of distance.
I have you on Twitter somewhere. I should bring that
you,
back
I don't
up.
Ever want to – you're tired. You follow me around for, 100 golf shots I took in a tournament. And you're just waiting for those moments, and then you throw it out for everybody, all your 20,000-plus people that follow you on Twitter, and I hear it everywhere I go to this day. Thank
really?
You very much. Yep.
Oh, see,
your golf
works.
Swing looked pretty good, Johnson. Your setup was good until you actually swung the club. That's when it went south.
It's at the Country Club, so
it's
Madera South.
It's at Madera Country Club. And the Lady Tigers haven't won a match there in probably about 49 years.
That's a tough course, by the way. Those par threes are like 240 yards. They're not easy.
Well, they'll be playing from a little shorter distance, okay. I dare say. And they'll be playing 9 holes, most likely.
Yeah. Perfect. Beautiful day to play golf.
Beautiful day.
Can we play golf when the season's over for you?
Maybe.
Okay, maybe. You have a lot of golf that you want in all these auctions. Let's go take advantage of them.
Yeah, right? I do. I've got passes for Pebble Beach.
Yeah. There you go. Let's go.
Of course, when I called, they say, well, you've got to get a reservation like 2 years in advance.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
crazy.
It's
we'll honor the gift certificate, but you've got to set up a reservation, and it takes a long time.
We just can't show up out of the blue? No.
We don't. Probably could with our ESPN credential.
Yeah. I can't.
We would probably find a way.
Yeah. Wait, speaking of Fresno State, we got some game day live passes. If you're going to the game tomorrow night, it'd be a beautiful Friday night. So many options. High school, Friday Night Lights, of course. And I know if you're a high school football player, your parents, cheerleaders, fans, you're going to the high school games. But we have some faithful Bulldog fans will be there tomorrow night watching Charles Williams and the Running Rebels taking on Fresno State. Should be a good one. Fresno State wants to get back on the horse and get a win after last week. Their D-line got smoked. That's all I can say. Air Force is good.
Air Force, we knew going in, was good based on their prior games, and we also knew that it's not easy. It never seems to be easy. Although the last few years, Air Force, I thought, was kind of going down the tubes.
Not this year.
But now they're coming roaring back.
Last year, we thought that the Mountain West, the quarterback play, and a lot of things, it was a down year for the Mountain West. This year, it's up.
Yeah, the truth of the matter is we did our preseason picks and how many games, the over-under on games won and lost by the Bulldogs. I think we dramatically underestimated how good some of these other clubs that we were just giving guaranteed wins to for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, no question.
Because Hawaii, like I said, is not going to be easy.
And San Diego State's
San Diego
good.
State's good. And oh, by the way, Utah State, good luck. I mean, they're very good.
Yeah, so Jeff and Coach Teffer has got his work cut out, but get out to Bulldog Stadium. We always support the Bulldogs. It's just tough playing on Friday Night Lights. Let's talk. I want to talk. So committing to a college when you're a sophomore, a junior, even your senior year, and then the family or the player or whatever the case may be decommits. And I know there's a lot of factors in it, but I want to bring up our quarterback, Jaden Casey from Calabasas. He was, his sophomore year, he goes, I'm going to be a Bulldog. Alabama offered, nope, I'm staying with Jeff Teffer. I'm going to be a Bulldog. My two cents is he was going to be a Bulldog, and then, I'm sure the coaching staff, or maybe you tell me because you're around college athletes a lot, thought he was going to be the guy, but then here comes Jake Haner. and they're making him feel special. And I'm sure Casey went, wait a minute, I thought I was going to be the guy. You promised me the world. I'm going to Cal now. Yeah. I don't know how it works, but do you think sometimes colleges, you know, promise the world to these kids, and then all of a sudden they're still recruiting out there?
Well, yes. First, there's a difference between your commitment when you're just wrapped up into the everyday world of typical recruiting. When I say typical recruiting, I was recruited to play football, and I decided to go to the University of Southern California. There were a new recruiting class the next year. Tim McDonald from Edison High School came in. Didn't play my position, but we knew he was another great defensive back coming on in. So now you know there's a lot of great talent every year to compete against. You can live with that. My problem I had in college is the same thing you're talking about with the Hayner incident. They went out of their way. Coach John Robinson leaves the university. New coach Ted Toner comes in. He wants to get some of his guys that he likes to see. It's his new group. And he goes out of his way to try to pilfer off some talent from other universities. We got another cornerback from the University of Oklahoma, very good football player, Albert Watts. And then you start sitting back as a player thinking, well, if the coach really likes me, he recruited me, but actually that coach didn't recruit me. If you're going out into the transfer portal looking for another guy, obviously they're not convinced that you're good enough to be the main guy. And then the coach's side of things, he has to do that to preserve his job, to preserve his university's ability to win football games. They've got to go out and do that. When you just do it in the recruiting trail, to me, every year, every high school recruit knows, a new recruiting class will be after me, and then there'll be another one, and they all want the job. But when you get a transfer, a guy that bounced here, bounced there, now he wants to go transfer to your school, there has to be an invitation to come to your school. You don't just say, hi, I'm wanting to leave the university XYZ. Would you be interested? No, I think colleges actively pursue that transfer portal and find out, oh, my God, that guy's available. Go find out if you'd be interested. So that's telling a guy like your kid from Calabasas, how much do they really like me?
Well, I'm sure that's in the back of his head.
Yeah, now, so if you're asking
they've been telling me I'm going to be the guy.
Yeah.
But they're going to recruit another kid.
If you're, first of all, my number one thing I would tell any kid is my dad who played college football told me. If there's a university that's telling you and making guarantees, hey, you're our guy, we've stopped the recruiting. Kendall Milton, you are our guy. We will no longer bring any other running backs. You are already slated to be a potential starter your first time you step foot on our campus. Put up the red flag and say, Coach, thanks for the invitation, but I'm going to go attend another university. Don't listen to them because they're lying. They are lying. It's simple. If any young high school senior thinks that a college coach is going to tell you, and by the way, you're next year's starter if you come to my university. Number one, they're lying. Number two, they're probably up to shenanigans at that university anyway, and he won't last long, so he might as well not go to that school if you like this coach. You have to search out the college coach that tells you, listen, son, we are university this or this. With or without you, we're going to be okay. We certainly would like to have you here to develop, to get involved in the great academic success on our campus, to all that stuff. When they start negotiating with the high school senior about playtime, I say red flag, that coach is lying.
And I think a lot of them, it's a used car deal. They're trying to get anybody they can in. Their butts are on the line every year. If they don't win, they're out. They're going to recruit everybody they possibly can,
yeah,
and whatever it takes to get in your
well,
head.
Well, certainly they're going to spell out the depth chart because all the high school kids now, they all want to see, well, where do I fit in? Am I going to play? You are going to have an opportunity, a very good opportunity, if you're as good as we think you are and you do things the way you should do things. But we're not going to tell you if you're going to be a starter.
Well, I think, Matt, you just said it. A lot of do that. I know Adrian Martinez, when he went to visit Ohio State, they pretty much said, you're going to have to compete for the job. They didn't make him feel special. I think kids want to feel special that they are going to be the guy,
sure,
and it's all bullcrap.
I just find a real hard time getting my hands around if you actually told a kid he's going to do this, and then the kid comes, and he certainly looked good in high school. That was against, you know, Calabasas High. Okay, that's not Mountain West. And then the kid comes, you realize he's not quite as good as we thought
he
was.
I think,
and then you got to go tell him, hey, you're our four-string guy right now. After you got done telling him he'd be the starter, who would do that?
I get that, but I'm talking that the class of 2019 and Jaden Casey, I don't care if it's Matt Johnson, and you're going to be my guy. and you're going to be my quarterback. We're going to build you after maybe we'll, you know, the first year we'll see how you do. And okay, yeah, I feel good about it. And then a month later they find out they're getting another kid in. You're right. They're saying, well, maybe they don't think I'm the guy, but maybe they just got me in.
Right.
Just to get me on the team.
I'll guarantee you we talk about this program enough, but it's Alabama. I mean, it's worth mentioning. You think Nick Saban told Tua Tagovailoa that, or I hope I said it right, I don't know. You think he told Tua in high school that you're going to come in, you're going to beat Jalen Hurts out, you're my guy? No. I guarantee you he told him, well, we do have Jalen Hurts, but, you know, you've got a pretty good game too, and you will have every opportunity to compete level playing field in training camp against Jalen Hurts.
And how did it work on Oklahoma when Jalen Hurts showed up? Quarterbacks, the ones who recruited, not very good. We're going to bring in Jalen Hurts.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's where if you were a recruited quarterback to Oklahoma, I don't care if the entire quarterback room said, okay, thanks, coach, we're bye, bye-bye. Because they felt like, and that's their prerogative. You're not going to be the guy. Hurts is the guy. Justin Fields.
All I'm saying, though, Matt.
Fields at Ohio State, leaving Georgia. Right away, of course, those quarterbacks all transferred.
I get after the next year, but I'm talking to your folk, you're recruiting this year.
Okay.
If you're going to go out and get two or three Jalen Hurts back to back to back, what are you telling the other two Jalen Hurts kids coming in? If I'm Matt Johnson and I'm saying, Matt, I think you could be my quarterback, but you're going to have to work your tail off. You're going to have to compete. And you go, give me the opportunity. But if I come in and say, hey, Matt, you're my guy, and then 2 weeks later I get another Matt Johnson in.
Decommit.
Exactly.
Coach lied to you.
Yeah.
Period. And I'm sure it's been very seldom. I got a coach, and I'm not against saying his name because I think this guy's an absolute lunatic. And the fact that he's still coaching I think is absurd. But, of course, his last name's Polian, and his father was one of the GMs of the year. So he was the head coach at Nevada, and he did not know how to recruit. It was clear to me that he had no clue, no idea of how to talk to young men and how to water off the duck's back. You're going to lose some of your battles. You're going to have a kid that does verbally commit to you, and then he might change his mind. They're kids, all right? Whether you like it or not, right, wrong, or indifferent, if I tell you, Nick, I'm going to your university. You don't even need to sell me. I want to be a condor. I want to go to Pagmeter University. Great. Do you think the coach goes back and they all break open the champagne and say, we got him. No, I guarantee you they go back. Okay, now, how are we going to keep this kid on fire for our school? Because he's still got a whole year with all the other colleges still coming after him. And Coach Polian, the one I was talking about, who's now at Notre Dame, and he still looks like an idiot on their sideline, he felt like if you give me your word that you're going to come here, then you need to honor that. After hundreds, literally, hundreds of other schools continued to recruit, even though they knew the kid was a verbal somewhere else. What's the kid to do? And he tried to physically just harass a student athlete, and I put an end to it. But short of that, if you verbally commit somewhere in today's game, that means nothing. That's more opportunity for these prima donna players and coaching staffs alike to get more press on the Twitter account or to get more social media that he verbal committed. The commitment counts when they sign the letter. Mm-hmm. So don't get so excited, people, about the verbal side. Now, get excited. Be very proud that you have an opportunity because that's clearly the university said, we're going to offer you. Do you accept? I do. It's a handshake, and you can go put it out all over the world. We just talked about someone that might tomorrow verbally commit, one of the great players in our valley, Ricky Correa at Central. He might make an announcement that he's going to school A or B. The bottom line is he'll go to school A or B when he signs his letter and the senior year is over with and all the numbers are in. Incidentally, he's having a great run in the classroom too, which is great. But when it's all said and done. So you can decommit because those schools – gave you that handshake. Thanks. Great. But they still go back to the war room and say, now, what other running back can we also get?
Well, you're right, Matt, but they also have to qualify because they'd be like, yeah, I'd like to have that Porsche. Congratulations. We had settled on a price, and we go in there and they find out, wow, Pagmeter, your credit's not that good. What? I got to have good credit? Yeah. So you still got to be a student. You got to pass the SAT. You got to go through all the AB, the whole nine yards just to sign that.
Yeah.
To get through it, right?
Right.
Sounds good right now.
But your original question was, what's the story on these student athletes that commit and then decommit? And the story is, if the NCAA got together and decided that this is the way you're going to do business, you can make a verbal commitment early, and now they'll go public with that. And the university will go call Rivals and Scout.com and 24/7 Sports and get on there that we just got another four-star or a five-star, and they'll put it on their rankings of where they fit around America. But it all is meaningless until the date, because the player should have the right to decommit at any time. I really believe that. Just as the colleges have the right to go on and go get somebody else because they thought he was good, but they watched the film from his entirety of his senior year and realized we might have made a mistake. And the recruiting coordinator's coming into the office in front of the head coach and everyone else and telling them we made a mistake. But there's the deal, though. Thank goodness we kept recruiting, because we just got Joey on the line from Texas and we got Bobby coming in from Florida. We're set at that position with whether or not this guy pans out or not. And they all give themselves a high five and say, great job.
So true.
It's a business.
It's a business. It's a game. And everybody wants to win, whatever it takes to win.
That's it.
Let's talk a little week nine high school football. Before I talk that, Pag Meter prediction, Lincoln Riley will be the Dallas Cowboys head coach. I don't know if it's going to be this year, but he'll be the next head coach. And I think Jerry Jones is going to
make an offer. Well, I think he'll be great at that. Oklahoma doesn't play defense, and the Cowboys are having trouble, so they'll just continue down this woeful path of not being able to stop people.
He can sure coach quarterbacks, so.
Whoopity bloody do, okay? He's coaching in a college where there are no defenses in that conference. Tell me the last time Lincoln Riley hung a national championship with that 60-point-per-game average, and then you'll come talking. You want to win games in Dallas, you might want to hire someone like Dabo Swinney.
There you go. Friday Night Lights, we already know about tonight, Redwood at Hanford. Okay, big one. We got some game day light passes. We got a few left.
Game day live.
Here, we got enough for, how many people are you looking at? Two. There you go. Well, you got enough for three. There you go. Friday Night Lights, Central Sequoia. We got to run through this. We don't have that long. Matt. Dinuba at Kingsburg, Matt. Pag Meter was completely wrong about the Vikings last week. Travis Hall steps in for Jed Jackson, and they beat CVC. Kingsburg's a real deal. What a story.
It is. It's one town, one voice, and they play lights-out football. No, what a combination.
They play Dinuba. Dinuba's got to play a little better defense. Selma, the road show continues. This week's at Exeter. They don't have a stadium to play at, but the Bears are good. Matt Logue is getting it done at 6-1.
One of the most talked about coaches in the entire Valley. Matt Logue is getting it done.
Gene Perucci's taking over the Bullard Knights quarterback, and they travel to Madera tomorrow night. I know a lot of Bullard Nation would like to be at Bulldog Stadium.
What happened? A quarterback change?
Yeah. Mr. Hayner broke his hand.
Oh, this could be good for the Coyotes. It's going to be a little bit closer than we thought.
It could be closer, but I think Gene Perucci's a very good quarterback. I like him. And the Knights travel to Madera South. Like I said, Charles Williams, I think the Knight Nation would love to be watching them. That's a tough one. The Edison Tigers at Memorial. The Panthers are on a roll right now. This is the Kitty Cat Bowl.
Yeah, and the Memorial is way better than was earlier advertised by the Pag Meter. They're the real deal.
They're the real deal. Madera South Stallions, you might have heard of them, take on Sanger at Chuck Shadan Field. Sanger's good.
Monumental task. Sanger runs the ball, and that option attack they have is lights out. Good football team. Very good football team.
Very good?
Very, very good.
Okay, come on, computer. Here we go. Let's go to the East Sequoia League. Sorry about that. Corcoran at Strathmore. Strathmore at 7-0. They're going to be the East Sequoia champs. Corcoran plays defense. I don't know if they have enough offense. Granite Hills at Sierra Pacific. Both teams need to play some defense tomorrow night. Sierra Pacific, really good offense. Defense is lacking.
I like Sierra Pacific in that game, though.
Lindsay Cardinals, the team that gave me a shirt and a hat and all that good stuff, and I'm a Cardinal fan now. I love that. They take on Farmersville. Lindsay will be the number one seed in Division VI if they run the table, and that means they have to beat Strathmore. East Yosemite, Mission Oaks, takes on
Tulare Western. I thought Strathmore was Division V.
They're down Division 5. But I'm talking about Lindsay in Division 6. They have to win.
If they beat Strathmore, they get the one seed.
I think they'll be the one seed.
All right.
They have to finish out. Mission Oaks takes on Tulare Western. Tiller Western's playing good football right now. The question for Tiller Western, can they win the bell game? Mission Oaks, like it's like Madera South, very tough schedule.
Very tough.
Menachie Delano, I think I have Menachie favorite. Tiller Union at Porterville, big one tonight. Tiller Union's defense against Porterville's offense would be a good one. Let's keep rolling down the list. In the Central Coast, Arroyo Grande takes on Rigetti. This could be a good one.
That's pretty much the battle on the coast for this weekend.
Hunter Barnhart's back playing his old team from St. Joseph. He's going to take on Paso Robles, where Hunter Barnhart was the quarterback last year. He transferred to St. Joseph, so a little motions there. Chowchilla at Yosemite. I'm hoping to do the game next week up in the mountains. Yosemite will take on Washington Union next week, but Chowchilla, always tough to beat.
Yosemite 7-0, who would have thunk?
Liberty Madera Rancho struggling, and now they got to take on the Panthers of Washington Union, who are rolling. Fresno Hyatt Reedley. Reedley, Tony Gates and staff is looking at an NYL championship. They take care of business. Week 11, they'll take on Sunnyside at Sunnyside. That'll be interesting. Roosevelt at McLean, the battle of Reseda. Roosevelt the favorite. McLean has hit a wall.
And Roosevelt is just cranking it up. Their run game looked spectacular last week against Reedley.
Yeah, no question about it. Let's go on the track. The big one in the South Yosemite, Bakersfield Christian at Ridgeview for the South Yosemite League Championship. Speed versus speed. That's all you got? Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
We're trying to hurry through if we get them all in.
All right.
I have nothing else to add. What do you want me to do?
The Buchanan Bears at Clovis. Buchanan can throw it overhand now. Ian Kirby, their new quarterback, sophomore, they can run it. They can throw it. Buchanan, it's going to be a threat now.
A threat? They've always been a threat.
Well, they couldn't throw it overhand.
Well, it doesn't matter. They were winning. That's what they do. They're going to win another one.
And Clovis West at Clovis East, the wing T versus the spread attack. Clovis North at Central. Is Clovis North, can they hang with the Grizzlies?
No, they cannot. Would you want me to just pontificate more than that, or just let you know right up the get? They're going to compete the best they can, but can they compete to win? No.
Pontificate. How long have you been waiting to use that in a sentence?
I use it every day.
Okay. I want to thank Gonzo back in the studio. Tony D coming up next, getting ready for Fresno State UNLV tomorrow night. Zone show tomorrow because of Fresno State football, of course, but I'll be back at First String Sports 10 a.m. Saturday morning. I want to thank Bobby Boy, the gang. I want to thank Kevin Sharton and Josh Young and Fashion Furniture, our great host, Matt Johnson. Great job again. You've been listening to 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
Get in the game.